Hello again, and welcome to Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. Speaking of which, we would like to interview you. Please email us at info@podcastdx.com, and we will send you an invite. I'm Lita.
I'm Jean Marie, and Ron will not be joining us today.
Today's episode is another deep dive, but instead of focusing on one diagnosis, we're looking at something that cuts across many conditions. We're going to talk about rehabilitation, and the title of the show is Rehabilitation Reimagined, Technology, Therapy, and Independence. We're going to be talking about how robotics, virtual reality, smart home tools, and my favorite, recreational therapy, are changing what rehab looks like and how they can help people live more independently.
All right. Well, why don't we begin with when we say rehabilitation reimagined, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, traditionally, rehab meant a lot of one-on-one sessions in a clinic, like physical therapy, occupational therapy, maybe even speech therapy, and you end up repeating exercises over and over to regain movement or speech or daily living skills. Now we're seeing a shift. Rehab still has that foundation, but it's being augmented by new tools, robotic exoskeletons, virtual reality systems, smart home technology, and more purposeful use of recreational therapy. So instead of do these three sets of 10 and go home, we're moving toward rehab that's more immersive, more engaging, and more connected to real life, what you actually want to do when you get home.
So let's start with something that sounds straight out of science fiction. Again, time travel.
No.
Oh, okay. Robotic exoskeletons. What are they? So if you think about an exoskeleton, it's a wearable robotic frame that supports your legs, for example, or maybe even your whole body, and it helps you stand and walk when you can't yet do that on your own. So when you're working or building up towards things, for example, if you've recently are living with the side effects of having a stroke or a spinal cord injury. So it's part of that. It may be part of that rehab. And these devices can guide your legs through the motions and through a walking pattern while you're still safely supported.
And they're not just lifting you up and moving you around. Many of them are smart. They adjust how much help they give based on how much effort the person is putting in. That means as someone gets stronger or more coordinated, the robot backs off and lets the person do more.
Yeah, it's not a permanent fix. It's more like training wheels, and they will slowly come off.
Yep. And studies show that combining robotic gait training with conventional therapy can help people with recent strokes improve their walking and daily function. Typically, with a stroke, you lose the left or the right side, and the robotic gait training can augment for the side that you lost until you get the strength back. Mm-hmm. Plus, using an exoskeleton can allow people to start upright, weight-bearing walking earlier in rehab, which may support circulation, bone health, and confidence. Mm-hmm. From a recreational therapy standpoint, I love it when these tools are paired with meaningful activity. So instead of walk to the cone and back, it might be walk to the simulated front door or walk over to the virtual garden, tying the movement to real world goals like going to the mailbox or strolling down the street with a family member.
So as you were saying, the virtual garden. So let's move on to the next buzzword, virtual reality or VR. A lot of us picture video games and headsets, but how is VR actually being used as a part of rehabilitation?
VR can create a simulated environment where a patient reaches, walks, balances, or practices tasks in a safe, controlled way. For example, someone that's recovering from a stroke might use a VR system to reach for virtual objects, step over obstacles, or practice balance tasks while the system tracks their movements and gives immediate feedback.
And this can provide motivation. Doing the same exercises over and over again in the same area, that can, you know, kind of be boring. But doing exercises or activities when they are incorporated into like a game type modality, for example, like popping virtual balloons or catching butterflies, you still might be replicating the exercises, the stretches, the movements, but they might feel more like play and you might be able to sustain them for longer.
Right. And the research suggests that VR-based robotic or sensor-based training can improve motor function, activities of daily living, and even quality of life in some groups, like people with lower limb weakness after a stroke. From a recreational therapy lens, VR lets us connect therapy with what gives someone joy or meaning in their life. If a person used to love hiking, but they cannot safely hike outside yet, VR might let them walk a trail while working on endurance and balance. So they've got the VR headset on. Mm-hmm. They're in the therapy department. So obviously there's no hills or birds or any, but the VR puts you in that virtual reality setting, and it causes an emotional connection that can boost engagement and adherence to the exercise.
And that can be a big deal. If you enjoy the process even a little, then you're more likely to stick with it. And then that can help to rewire the brain and rebuild or relearn skills.
Well, let's pivot from the clinic to the home.
Okay.
Rehab doesn't stop mm-hmm. when you're discharged. It just moves into real life. How does smart home technology fit into rehabilitation?
Well, things like smart speakers, app-controlled lights, smart locks, video doorbells, automated thermostats, they weren't, you know, designed specifically for those living with physical or emotional or mental challenges, but they can function as assistive technology in some cases. For someone who is living with limited mobility or, you know, saying being able to verbally or, you know, access things like turning on and off lights, locking or unlocking the front door, or even making phone calls, that can dramatically reduce dependence on caregivers and increase overall safety.
Right.
Like, or even having lights come on at certain times of day and having lights in locations where they,
Or those motion activated lights.
Right. 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 So there's lots of things that smart home technology, those things can come into play. There's even, you know, smart home technology where it monitors usage of things of like people opening and closing medicine cabinets and things of that nature, or even just detecting motion to make sure that someone is
still moving. Okay. Well, there have been programs that help people with complex physical disabilities to set up smart home devices in a structured way, assessing their needs and installing the tech and training them to use it. Those programs have shown real gains in functional independence and satisfaction with daily life.
And I mean, there are even things that, you know, like there are technologies that will shut off cooktops if smoke or fire are detected, just as, you know, just in case that comes into play as well. So there are many different aspects in terms of what smart home things can do. And that lines up with what we hear from our listeners, that independence isn't always, I'm cured, I can do everything that I used to be able to do, or things are back to how things used to be. But it sometimes means that they can control, you know, someone can control their own environment, or that I don't have to wait for someone to come in and adjust my bed or the blinds or the thermostat or the lights. that I can, you know, do those things on my own.
Right. Independence is a good thing, even if it's virtual or activated virtually.
Well, yeah, smart home.
Right.
Although there's obviously a given cost to all of these.
Sure. That should be covered by insurance.
Well, okay, but.
Okay. Yeah. As recreational therapist, we look at participation. Can you do the things that matter to you? And smart tech can support that.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean that you can independently start your favorite music playlist. Alexa, play Paul Simon.
Okay, now everyone's thing, their home thing.
It was my gimmick. Everybody's going to listen to Paul Simon. Alexa, turn on the TV for your team's game.
Okay.
Or open the door when your friends arrive.
Thank you for not saying it with that.
Yes. All of which helps keep you socially connected and emotionally well. Of course, there are barriers, like you were saying, cost, setup, digital literacy, and sometimes needing caregiver support to get things running. But when the tech is matched to the person and they're trained, it can be a powerful piece of that rehab puzzle.
Sure. You know, we talked about robots, VR, smart home. There's also things, you know, just having the ability to do your physical therapy or occupational therapy at home, you know, being able to connect with a provider remotely through, you know, like your cell phone, tablet, or TV, that can be a you know, really big, especially if you're living in a remote area or if you're constrained by weather or things of that nature. Being able to access that care even from your home can be rather
empowering.
Yeah, empowering.
Well, I noticed that you didn't mention recreational therapy, but recreational therapy starts with this question. Mm-hmm. What gives your life meaning, joy, and a sense of identity? And then we use activity, like games, adaptive sports, arts, community outings, even driving simulators to help people rebuild their physical, cognitive, social, and emotional skills in ways that actually connect to their goals.
So instead of, you know, just saying you need to improve grip strength, you might be working more towards getting back to playing cards with your friends or being able to, you know, bake or do something else. So you still are going to work on your grip strength, but you're going to work on it while shuffling cards, using adaptive kitchen tools, or playing games that require, you know, for example, reach, you know, strength, agility, mobility, endurance.
Right. And recreational therapists often work with or next to
physical and occupational
because even though you're using, let's say, playing cards to get your mobility in your hands and wrists and fingers, they still might need a brace on their wrist or some type of a pain-relieving cream on their hand just to get started.
But, okay.
The evidence shows that recreational therapy can improve motor skills, strength, coordination, problem solving, mood, and confidence, all of which contribute to somebody's ability to manage daily life and live more independently.
So where do the new technologies fit into that?
Well, they become mediums or, you know, ways of getting to paths.
Sure.
A robotic exoskeleton isn't just a machine. It's a way to safely get someone back into walking so they can return to taking a walk in the park or dancing at a wedding. And VR isn't just a headset. It's a platform to simulate bowling, driving, grocery shopping, fishing, or traveling so that we can practice in a safe space before returning to the community. And smart home tech isn't just gadgets. It's the bridge that allows someone to live alone or with less caregiver time while staying safe and engaged.
And it's going to be, you know, tailored and appropriate, you know.
For each patient.
Yeah, it has to be what the individual needs. And that's what we meant by rehabilitation reimagined. It's not just about restoring range of motion to a joint. It's about restoring identity, roles, and overall joy, using both old-fashioned human connection and traditional techniques, as well as cutting-edge technology. And let's give our listeners something practical to work with. If someone is about to start rehabilitation, or they're advocating for a loved one who's in rehabilitation or something like that, what are some questions that they can ask their healthcare provider?
Well, you might ask, do you use any technology like robotic devices or virtual reality in your rehab program? And would I or my relative or friend be a candidate? Or is there a recreational therapist on your team or someone that can help me work toward my leisure and community goals? Or can someone on the team help me evaluate smart home or assistive technology to support my independence at home? You can also say, here are the activities that matter to me most. Driving, gardening, faith activities, playing music, traveling. Then ask, how can we incorporate those into my rehabilitation plan?
And that can help shift the focus from, you know, what are my limitations? What can't I do? What's wrong with me? To here's what my goals are. Here's what I'm going to work towards. And that can help you refocus and make rehabilitation more pleasant. And that's much more hopeful and a nice way to frame recovery.
And remember, not every clinic will have all the high-tech tools, but that's okay. The core ideas, like person-centered goals or meaningful activity and building independence, can still be applied with low-tech or no-tech options.
And we hope this gives you a clearer idea of how rehabilitation is evolving from hands-on therapy alone to therapy supported by robotics, virtual reality, smart home devices, and of course, recreational therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about helping people not just to survive, but also to live well.
Rehabilitation is not a one-size-fits-all. The right mix of technology and therapy can be incredibly powerful, but the most important thing is it's tailored to you, your goals, your values, and your definition of independence.
And sometimes technology could also mean that your providers are utilizing technology to share ideas and strategies and techniques amongst themselves to help improve the overall care that they're providing individuals. Thank you all for joining us for this conversation on Rehabilitation Reimagined, Technology, Therapy, and Independence. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.